This is the Adam Gold Show.
I am Adam Gold. We have Dennis Cox today on the ones and twos. It's like we spin a wheel. We land on 500, a trip to Tahiti.
Oh.
Or bankrupt. I don't know. I don't know what we spun, what we landed on.
I think you just bought a vowel, sir.
Well, you know, you can't spin and buy a vowel.
That's true.
That's something you just do on your own.
You got to do
that on your own. That's Dennis. But I see V to the Victoria behind you.
She is.
She's just coming in to, I don't know, put something down and then leave. What is she doing?
Essentially, she's looking up something. Well, she and I are flipping
today.
Today, because I had scheduled.
I feel so used.
How do you think I feel?
I don't.
I don't feel used.
So, I'm actually today, so a long-term video project that I'm working on here for Capital Broadcasting is just getting some different film video to put together like a season-long highlight reel of college football in the state of North Carolina.
Ah.
So I'm actually heading out to Boone today for App State's game.
Taking a company car, I hope.
No, I'm actually not.
Mistake on your
part. I
know,
really.
Although, man, like if you're driving up there, I'd stay.
Oh, I'm going to stay there tonight.
All right, good.
I need to still figure that out. But I have time.
Okay. All right, well, welcome. We got a lot of things to do today. Very quickly before we start, have you been to the fair yet?
I have not.
Okay, I am.
Matt Rhule needs to visit the fair.
Oh, boy. I want Matt Rhule to get lost at the fair.
Oh, he's going to use the bacon map.
There are too many things that look exactly alike at the fair. Too many locations that look exactly alike at the fair.
That's a very good point.
Right. And by the way, the map's woefully insufficient. I need more detail on the maps. I need more directions on the map. Put the name of rides on the map. I don't want to go on any rides, but 14-year-old boys do. So I was chaperoning my son's school's voyage, not a field trip. A voyage.
Oh, voyage.
To the fair.
Is that what they call them
my
now?
My son milked a cow yesterday.
That's a thing.
He wanted to do it. I was
Props to him.
Oh, my gosh. I would have paid him to do it. By the way, you got to pay $5 to milk a cow.
Hold on. Do I get to keep the milk?
No. But you get, they'll give you a carton of milk. I don't know how big a carton it is. They'll give you milk for you give them $5 to milk a cow. And by the way, you don't get a chance to really milk the cow. You get like two tugs, and then that's it.
Pause.
I knew how this was going to sound. You get like two pulls on the teat, and then you're done.
Pause.
Right? So anyway, this is so awesome. It was the highlight of the trip. My son, 14-year-old, I think he's a city kid at heart. Although we live really in the country, he loves, he fishes almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he was into it. He loved it. He was criticizing his friend for not doing it right. I'm like, when did you learn how to do this? So he gets his two tugs, and then he's just standing there while his friend is there. You have to kind of wait to leave the area. And the cow next to them just let loose.
Uh-oh.
From the other end.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
And you should have seen some. Not my son was fine with it. He laughed. Because we've seen horses do it. You should see 14-year-old kids scurry.
Do they use Powerade cups to clean it up? SMU did.
No. What happened?
Oh, you didn't see this on Friday last week?
No.
Oh, so during SMU's football game, they have a pony.
A live mascot.
Yeah,
okay.
A live mascot that they trot across the field, sprinting across the field after a touchdown. Well, it left some droppings behind.
Yes!
And the refs told them, y'all got to clean this up. So they use Powerade cups, from the trainers or the coolers.
That is fantastic.
Use those to scoop it up.
All right, so the whole point of me saying I went to the fair was this. Cora's cookie dough.
Okay.
I'm not a good fair food finder.
Okay.
Like the stuff that I really wanted to try, I have no idea where it is because I don't go to the fair very often. This was the first time I was probably there a couple of years ago, but I don't really remember. We probably have only gone for lunch here and there. Mm-hmm. But Coors Cookie Dough, they have something called the Oreo Cookie Crumble.
Okay.
And I don't even know what it is, except that I slowed down after. It's like it's combination cookie dough fudge on a stick, and it's unbelievable. I couldn't eat the entire thing myself. It's not that big. It's only about, if you took, let's just say, 5 Oreo cookies and stacked them on top of each other.
Double stuffed or regular?
Let's just say 3 double stuffed Oreos stacked on top of each other, right?
That I can get with.
All right. But it's not, it's just covered in Oreo crumble. The other stuff is like deep chocolate cookie dough. And it is dense. It was unbelievable.
I'm for it.
I needed a nap right there. And I only ate half of it. It was actually the only economic thing at the fair. Everything at the fair is too expensive.
Well, yeah.
But that was $8 for that. But it's worth it because you're done. Don't eat that first. I'm just saying that. Okay.
Eat it as you're going out. Got it.
Yes, eat it on the way. It's cold too, so it'll travel.
Okay,
right. It will travel. It will not run. It's not like getting ice cream on a stick. It will travel. So there you go. Cora's cookie dough. It's near. It's a couple of booths down from the ostrich place, which is awful. Don't do ostrich.
Okay.
All right. Let's go. So the ACC announced voting for the all-ACC teams for men's basketball yesterday. UNC got 90 of 101 first-place votes. Duke got 2. Virginia got 6. Miami 2. Virginia Tech 1. Duke was second in the balloting, followed by Virginia, Miami, and Florida State. That's the top 5. NC State 10th. I think Wake Forest was 8th. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know why I didn't write that down, but I didn't. Armando Bacot, somehow, not unanimous first team All-ACC.
Really?
See, I can see if you say that Bacot is not going to be the player of the year.
Sure.
I can get that.
Yeah.
But you have to be predicting an injury for Bacot not to be first team All-League. Or you're bitter, or you forgot he was here. Those are the only options for me. Because if you recalled that Bacot was in the league and didn't put him at least on your first 5 players, then you're a dope. I'm sorry. You're a dope if you didn't do that. And I'm afraid to find out who left him off the first team ballot. Because I don't want to judge that person, right? But I will. I just did. You're a dope.
I'm just gonna say some bitter Boston College reporter.
Unbelievable. Or no, maybe it's a bitter, I don't know, Duke reporter. Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, Bacot should have been unanimous first team. 9 different players received Player of the Year votes. Bacot got 82 of 101 there. Caleb Love, Jeremy Roach, Terquavion Smith, and Isaiah Wong are the other players in the on the first team. Jaden Gardner from Virginia, Derek Lively from Duke, freshman, Justin Mutz of Virginia Tech, P.J. Hall of Clemson, and R.J. Davis of Carolina. That was your second team. 11 players got rookie votes. 11 different players got, you know, rookie of the year, preseason prediction for rookie of the year votes. The top 4 are from Duke. Right?
that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
No, but to me, that stands out because Duke was picked 2nd. They have 1 returning rotation player in Jeremy Roach. Now, it's an important one. He is arguably the point guard, although he might not be the point guard. He might be a shooter when you get right down to it. They have so many new players. The top 4 in the predictions for rookie of the year. Imagine having 4 of those types of players. Yeah, this guy's going to be the rookie of the year. four, and actually they had five guys in the list, but the top four vote getters in that category. I thought that whole thing was fascinating.
Come on, Duke.
I'm going to get into this later, and maybe we'll do it with Chip Patterson because he is all encompassing. Do you hear Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim say that the Big Ten stunk last year because they did so poorly in the NCAA tournament? They got like 11 teams in and got two to the second weekend, and none of them made it to the Elite Eight. I think that was the case with the Big Ten.
Yeah, a lot of them got bounced early.
Seriously, only two of their teams made the Sweet 16, and both of them lost in the Sweet 16. One lost to Duke, right? In the Sweet 16. Duke lost to Duke beat Michigan State. Anyway, Boeheim says that the NCAA tournament is the measure by which conferences should be judged. The ACC went 14-5 in the NCAA tournament last year. They only got five teams in. They didn't get seeded very high.
No.
Right? And they still managed two teams in the Final Four. That's how great the ACC is.
That's right.
And I would argue that...
Let's go.
I would say to Jim Boeheim, maybe. I don't think that's correct. I think it's unfair to say that's the way league should be judged. I think... all of it needs to be taken into account. And it's convenient when it works for you. it's convenient when it works for you. I will say this. The bowl system is a terrible way to judge an overall conference's strength. Because there aren't fair matchups. We make fun of the SEC all the time for, well, you know, our teams weren't really motivated. Yeah, whatever. That's on you. But it just isn't equitable. So the bowl system, not fair. The NCAA tournament, it's more fair. So I think there is some validity to what Jim Boeheim has to say, but I don't think that's the way we measure. No, that really isn't. So
it's part of the metric, not the only metric.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of metrics. And I think what you do during the regular season does matter. And that's how you get into the NCAA tournament. Is what you've done during the regular season, who you've beaten, where you've beaten them, how many good teams you beat. That's what gets you in. So I think Jim Boeheim is just taking the ACC's performance in the league and using it for his convenience. All right, moving on. You know what's almost always overrated when it comes to newsmaking? Owners' meetings. And not a lot of stuff ever happens at owners' meetings, right? Ooh, nice. Nice vibe here.
Thank you.
So it's a lot of stuff that really doesn't matter. Mostly it's just chances to stay in fancy hotels and for the Jeff Darlingtons of the world to do stand-ups at the Peabody in Memphis where the Ducks, you know, where the Ducks are walking around. Like, that's cool. I actually don't know if that's ever happened at the NFL owners' meetings, but the NFL owners are... or have met at the Conrad downtown in New York City. That sounds expensive, doesn't it?
Very.
I did a little research. Dennis, how much do you think it costs to stay one night, deluxe suite, king bed?
Oh, a deluxe suite.
Deluxe suite's the cheapest room.
Okay.
This is like economy.
Does it have like the little refrigerator with the key and all that?
It does have a little kitchenette area.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say $567.
From $755. The $755 is probably with a view of the dumpster, and it's probably in the interior of the hotel.
Yeah.
If you get a window overlooking wherever it is, Midtown, I'm not sure where the Conrad is. It's actually downtown, so maybe it is all the way downtown. If you get a view overlooking one of the rivers or, you know, some site, the Brooklyn Bridge, I have no idea, then that's probably $950, but from $755. But you get a bathrobe.
Nice.
The slippers, right? Free Wi-Fi. Anyway, Jerry Jones at these owners, I'm sorry for the aside, Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft got into it at the owners' meeting.
I'm for these things, by the way. 100% for
they had an argument, and apparently there were F-bombs thrown.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Now, here's the thing.
I bet it's because, was Jerry not invited to Robert Kraft's wedding?
It's Robert Kraft just got married?
Yeah.
Did
he?
Didn't hear, I'm sure it was a great, great wedding.
Well, yeah. Well, this will lead into the Tom Brady angry stuff later on.
Oh, okay, yeah, good.
We'll carry this on. Oh, but I'm just wondering if Jerry Jones didn't get invited. Maybe that's why.
Honestly, I would say that Robert Kraft probably didn't invite Jerry Jones to the wedding. This is not a slight on Jerry Jones. I'm sure there were a lot of NFL owners that didn't get invited to the wedding. So, but the reason for the argument was over compensation for Roger Goodell, who is due a new contract coming up. So Jerry Jones wants Goodell essentially to work on commission. Like, that's basically what he wants. Like, this is not your salary. All right, here's what we'll pay you as long as we meet these benchmarks. Roger Goodell, who has been a meat shield for the 32 NFL owners, has basically, according to Jerry Jones, we want to make him earn his money. Like, if anybody deserves time served, it's Goodell. Because you all are bleeping crazy.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
He has been.
I have been.
There's no question about it. All right. So there's that. I have no idea. They voted 31-1 on how to compensate Roger Goodell. And the one was Jerry Jones. He voted against the new contract. Anyway, but here's what was really interesting to me out of the NFL owners' meetings. Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts. It is Jim Irsay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because his dad, Robert Irsay, used to own the Colts. He was the owner when the Colts moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis. I don't know why I get them mixed up all the time, but I do. So Jim Irsay had this to say about what the owner should do regarding Washington owner Dan Snyder.
I just believe in the workplace today, the standard that the Shield stands for in the NFL, that you have to stand for that and protect that. I just think that once owners talk amongst each other, they'll arrive to the right decision. And my belief is that, unfortunately, I believe that that's the road we probably need to go down, and we just need to finish the investigation. But it's gravely concerning to me, the things that have occurred there over the last 20 years.
First of all, I thought the investigation was finished. Are we going back? Are we doing more?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought the investigation was finished, and Roger Goodell doesn't have a written report of it, because why would we have a written report of that? First of all, I will also say that it's clear that Jim Irsay is not one of the owners that Daniel Snyder has dug dirt up on. He's pretty confident of that. Mostly because all of the dirt on Jim Irsay pretty much out in the open.
Yeah.
Remember when he was
driving
around? He had all sorts of, pills in his car, right? Driving around with cash. Like, dude, get a grip. Kind of, get a hold of yourself. Anyway, Roger Goodell commented on Jim Irsay's comment.
Are you surprised? Are you disappointed that Jim Irsay had strong comments about it?
No. How do you like that?
How do you feel about it?
How do I feel about what?
His comments.
I just said, and I said it to the membership, speculation without facts is not a very positive thing to do. I think everyone deserves to have facts and to make sure those decisions are made with facts. And the membership will have that opportunity.
Ooh. Roger Goodell, I like it. I like it, Roger. I remember saying this when Robert Sarver was in the crosshairs of the NBA, and Adam Silver, at his press conference, trying to explain why it was just a $10 million fine and a one-year suspension of ownership, basically, he said, I can't fire an owner. I can't. Right? But he alluded to a process. There is a process by which 25 NFL owners can remove Dan Snyder as owner. And by the way, don't insult us by transferring ownership to, what's his wife's name, Tanya? Whatever her name is. Mrs. Snyder. Don't insult us by that. Force the sale. You know who deserves the Washington football team to be sold? Washington football team fans deserve that team to get a new owner. That's who deserves that team to be sold. I'm pleased by what I heard from Roger Goodell right there. All right, the NBA started last night. Celtics ran away from the Sixers in Boston last night. It only took Marcus Smart a half to get into postseason form. Did you see the Marcus Smart, Joel Embiid? Altercation's probably not the right word.
Beef.
It's not really beef. It was basketball. Okay. And it was basketball between Marcus Smart, who is the best agitator in the NBA, who also happens to be an outstanding player. I love so much about Marcus Smart, including how entertaining he is, because he's a dynamite player. But look, he was the only one who picked up fouls in this. Marcus Smart got called for a common foul and a technical foul for, you know, messing around with Joel Embiid. But Embiid flopped because that's what Embiid does. And then I don't understand how Jaylen Brown didn't get anything in this situation, because Jaylen Brown was standing over Embiid when he was on the court. He, like, straddled him and was standing over him like, yeah, you want to mess? Like, dude, just chill out. Your guy caused it.
Yeah.
Your guy caused the problem. Anyway, Boston ran away from the Sixers in that game. It was a fun game. Sweet Boston uniforms, by the way.
Yeah, it was different. I like
them. They're darker. They're tributes. Actually, Bill Russell, the late Bill Russell, was a consultant on the design of them. So it's really a tribute to Russell, but they are dynamite looking. Golden State got their rings last night, only two games in the NBA. Then they clubbed the Lakers by double digits. Big game for LeBron James with 31 points, but he recognizes that his team might not be so good.
I think we're getting great looks, I think, but it also could be teams giving us great looks. I mean, if you be completely honest, we're not a team that's constructed of great shooting. And that's just the truth of the matter is, it's not like, you know, we're sitting here with a lot of lasers on our team. So, you know, but that doesn't deter us from still trying to get great shots. And when we get those opportunities, you take them. But we're not sitting here with a bunch of 40-plus career three-point shooting guys.
It's game one. LeBron already knows this roster ain't it.
No.
And he is right.
I'm just wondering when Patrick Beverly and Russell Westbrook get into a fight.
Why did they sign Patrick Beverly?
Great question.
I mean, look, I'm not knocking Pat Bev, but that ain't what they need. They need shooting. They're going to stink. They won't even make the play-in tournament. They got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Honestly, I've said this before, that's the guy they needed to move on from. They needed to trade Anthony Davis, and I'm not sure why they haven't. They really don't want him. I'd do that in a minute. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see who they can fleece. They're going to have to give up a couple of first-round picks in order to do it, but we'll see who they can fleece. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will check in. The NBA does open the rest of their season tonight, right? And I think the Hornets are in San Antonio. Yep.
8 o'clock tip tonight.
8 o'clock tip tonight, Hornets in San Antonio. Travis Hancock of WFNZ in Charlotte does pre and post for the Hornets. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that. But Christian McCaffrey on the trade block. Robbie with a Y, Anderson gone. Steve Wilkes game one, Panthers drama. Travis Hancock next.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Sure, we have 30 seconds to tell you that drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. But then what? Well, radio has been called theater of the mind, so let's tell a story with sound effects. Wow, it's like I was in the story. Almost makes me forget this was supposed to be about saving big with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.